Welcome into the Lombardi Line. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on a Tuesday live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. We are 16 days away from the NFL draft, 150 days away from the NFL season opener, and Wes, we are 37 days away from the PGA Championship at Kiawa, where Colin Morikawa will defend his title. But first off, we have some breaking NBA news, unfortunate news for Denver Nuggets star point guard Jamal Murray. He was injured in Monday night's game against the Warriors, and as it turns out this morning, it is going to be a torn ACL for Jamal Murray, and this is a huge blow to the Denver Nuggets, and we have seen it reflected in the odds board.
We certainly have, and Denver was on fire after the deadline. They, of course, acquired Aaron Gordon from the Orlando Magic, had not lost a game until Sunday, and when we were on the Green Zone during Masters coverage right here on VSiN, Brady, there was a game going on between the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets, and we were kind of tracking that game. Nuggets had a somewhat comfortable lead over Boston. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, Boston's on a 40-8 run to close this game. I think it was 31-8 in the fourth quarter for the Boston Celtics as they got that win. And then Denver, of course, played last night, got bet up to about a 5-point favorite, did not get the cover nor the outright win at Golden State. Jamal Murray, of course, left the game. We were worried about this news, and of course the news comes down this morning that it is a torn ACL, out for the season. Now we've seen the drift, of course, on the odds. This from BetMGM, plus 850 to win the West as of yesterday. This morning, 12-1, probably going to drift even higher to win the NBA championship. Goes from 16-1 to 30-1. I have seen other stores here around town, Brady, put the Denver Nuggets as high as 100-1.
Wow.
Now to win the NBA title. That would put them about 6th or 7th in the West, down there with Golden State, because the teams with the odds shorter, obviously the two LA teams, the Clippers and the Lakers, also the Dallas Mavericks, the Portland Trail Blazers, so Utah Jazz as well. So a lot of teams now ahead of Denver in that pecking order on the basis of this Murray news.
Yeah, a historic night for Golden State last night, the site of the Jamal Murray injury, where Steph Curry went out for 53 points and surpassed Wilt Chamberlain as now the leader in franchise history for points scored for the Golden State Warriors. Wes, let's head to the baseball card for your Tuesday, about 2 hours away from first pitch in Minnesota. The Boston Red Sox will send Nathan Eovaldi to the hill to face Kenta Maeda. Both teams off of great starts and leading their respective divisions. Twins a respectable favorite here at minus 145 with a total of 9.
We actually have pitching changes, by the way, in this game too, because this was supposed to take place yesterday, got postponed for events in Minneapolis area and in Minnesota. If you've been watching the news, you know what we're talking about. It'll be Martin Perez against J.A. Happ.
Yeah, battle my bad. With two I lefties. Saw that updated.
Yeah, so just the one game today, not a doubleheader. So it'll be Perez and Happ in the early going. And look, J.A. Happ, 2.25 ERA, but a 5.59 xFIP for the Minnesota Twins. So that's a pretty substantial gap, albeit a really small sample size. So I don't disagree with the movement. This got repriced, I think, at minus 145 Minnesota, plus 133 to take back on the Carmines. So I like the Red Sox here a little bit, getting the number. I agree with the line move. It's down to about, I'm seeing some 130s in the market. It's 120 at BetMGM, minus 145, plus 120 in terms of the straddle there. But Red Sox taking the money here early. And all of a sudden, the Red Sox, remember, they got swept in opening weekend at home at Fenway by the Baltimore Orioles.
Been doing the sweeping since.
Yeah, paid them back. They had a sweep of the Rays, and then they paid the Orioles back with a sweep in Camden Yards. So maybe people betting the streak here, perhaps. But I also think Happ's peripherals in terms of his pitching numbers, a little bit lacking, a little bit exploitable, at least early in the season. So I do agree with the move on the Bo Sox.
You wonder if there's a questionable state with the Minnesota Twins, too, with the turmoil.
With everything going on, yeah, absolutely. You would figure as much. Would not be surprising, obviously, you know, in the courtroom and on the streets up there in Minnesota. So, yeah, you do wonder their mindset. I think that's a very fair point to make and very fair to wonder about that.
The Athletics at the Diamondbacks. This is 12:40 Pacific, 3:40 for the first pitch. Oakland made it 3 wins in a row with a win at Arizona on Monday. It'll be Jesus Luzardo getting the ball today for the A's facing Zach Gallen. And here at BetMGM, minus 110 either way, it's a pick 'em with a total of 8.5.
Yeah, the A's all of a sudden not at the bottom of the barrel like they were, getting four wins in a row and going to Arizona. They beat around Mad Bum a little bit last night. So Lizardo goes 6.10 ERA, about a 4.09 on the xFIP, so a little bit better there. Zach Gallen is really one of these young arms that the Diamondbacks are going to run want to rely on. This is not a team that I think is necessarily overloaded with talent, but Zach Gallen, who they got in that trade with the Marlins last year, is somebody that I think is part of their future, somebody that they would like to build around going forward. This is his first start, though, of the season. He did not start in that first week, was dealing with an injury. Arizona getting a little bit of the money here. I think the straddle now is about 110, 110 at BetMGM, seeing some 105, 105 on both sides as well. Under would probably be the way I would go. I would like to see 9 again. You could probably still get 9 if your shop has those like alternate totals. Sometimes when it goes from 9 to 8.5, now you got to pay a little extra tax if you want to get under the key number 9. So you're looking 125 more often than not when it moves down a half a run. But certainly, I'm not sure really what to do on the side here. Haven't seen Gallen yet, but early afternoon game here in Arizona would lean to the under.
Looks like the over is the play when Madison Bumgarner starts for the Diamondbacks.
Correct.
He has struggled in each of his three starts. I thought he might bounce back in his first start at home on Monday. Not the case there as the Athletics get that victory. I believe the final was 9-5. Padres at the Pirates. This begins the afternoon portion of the card, 3:35 Pacific, 6:35 p.m. Eastern. It'll be Blake Snell dealing against Chad Kuhl, and San Diego, a good-sized road favorite here, -245 at BetMGM with a total of 8.
Yeah, Padres out to a really good start, 8-3, despite the fact that the offense, and part of that is Tatis not being in the lineup,
yeah,
of course, but the offense really hadn't gotten going. They did get 6 runs. Game went under the total last night. Pirates offense can be very much hit or miss, and a lot more miss than it's been hit, even though they had a couple good games against the Cubs over the weekend. Would lean a little bit to the over here. You still can get some 7.5 juice to the over at 8. It starts to get juice to the under. That'd be my lean here. I don't really want to lay over $2 on the road. I don't like to do that in baseball anyway, but Blake Snell is still kind of in new surroundings, and we kind of saw that with Darvish early on, yeah, his first start. You know, when you're in that new uniform, you struggle a little bit, and maybe that carries over here for Snell, but I don't want any part of the Pirates, so it would be over or nothing for me.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards the over as well, and if I had to make a play, I would take the Pirates with the price, but I certainly don't want to bet against San Diego right now. Mariners at the Orioles, 4:05 Pacific, 7:05 Eastern, and it'll be Mark Abesius against Means. Baltimore has dropped 3 in a row. Seattle has won 2 straight. Orioles favored here at home, -135 with a 7 for your total.
Yeah, we got a doubleheader actually today in this one with Seattle and Baltimore. It's going to be Sheffield and Means in the opener, unless they've changed it. I'm just looking at the screen here. Margavicious and Kramer in the nightcap,
okay,
here in Seattle and Baltimore. So one of the things, too, now with these doubleheaders, they're now, keep in mind when you're looking at these totals, these are 7-inning games.
Right.
So that's why you see in the night game where this opened at 9, if they were normally just going to play the regularly scheduled game, this is now down to 7, juice to the under at -120. Margavicious and Kramer, that's the 4:05, 7:05 Eastern first pitch for the night game. And then in the early game, Sheffield against Means, it's 6.5, juice to the under at -120. So that's one thing to keep in mind, that baseball made those rule changes with the doubleheader. They are 7-inning ball games, so that's why you see these numbers so much lower. So that's one thing for bettors to keep in mind here.
So a lot of reshuffling of the schedules today, and that's another thing to look out for, listed pitchers versus action. It's been a real change of parts here as far as the baseball schedule for your Tuesday, with postponements, rainouts, 2 doubleheaders today, I believe, Wes. The Phillies and the Mets,
yes,
playing a pair as well, 4:10, and a late start for the first game, 4:10 Pacific, 7:10 Eastern. The series opener was rained out on Monday, and this will be the first of a 2-game, 7-inning doubleheader here, with Chase Anderson facing Taiwan Taijuan Walker. Mets are the favorite here in game one at minus 145. And again, a seven inning total here at 6.5.
Chase Anderson was a guy I think Philadelphia kind of picked up to maybe help out more in the bullpen. He's kind of in that fifth starting role right now, and they're seeing how he does. And that is absolutely getting faded here. And plus the fact that Aaron Nola was supposed to go in the first game. So that's part of the adjustment. So it's not necessarily a 50-cent move just based on fading Chase Anderson. It's the pitching change and a reprice. So keep that in mind. Nola and Stroman, by the way, are going to go late tonight. They are the evening matchup where Nola, I believe, I'm seeing a 120 favorite, 125-ish on the road. That total, 5.5. So you know, okay, this isn't a nine-inning game when you see that. 5.5, juice to the under at minus 120 with Nola and Stroman. Nola has been very good to start the year. Kind of maybe a dark horse Cy Young candidate in the National League, I would say, because it'll depend on how much the Phillies do well this year. I hope they do, since I have the season win total over. So that's why you're seeing that in the evening game. Have not made any play as of yet on this. Probably Walker looks to be a little bit too big of a favorite just on the surface over Chase Anderson. And I think you'll probably see that coming down. That might have gotten over-adjusted by the pitching change with Nola being moved to the evening game.
That game, too, ought to be a good matchup with Stroman and Nola. And, of course, Stroman was upset that they made him start that game the other day. I believe it was in Florida where the rain was coming down pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. And they eventually called the game after about an inning and a half or so. See how he responds after that situation last week. The Yankees are at the Blue Jays, 4:07 Pacific, 7:07 Eastern. New York has won a pair and now trail the Boston Red Sox by just a game and a half in the American League East. Toronto's bringing up the rear in the division, but still only 2.5 games back in the early going of the season. Yankees got the early money here, Wes, but the Blue Jays remain the favorite, minus 120 with a total of 9.
Yeah, down here in Dunedin, Florida. Good pitching duel last night with Cole and Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray making his first start does take the L. It is Jameson Taillon against Hyun-Jun Ryu, the left-hander for the Dunedin or Tampa Bay Blue Jays, whatever you really want to call them. Tampa Bay already has a team, so the Dunedin / Toronto Jays. And Yankees getting a little bit of the money here, not really a surprise. They've gotten off to a slow start after they dropped a series to the Rays. They are 5-5 on the season, but a little bit of a shaky start for the Pinstripes. And they get Ryu, who actually shut them down on opening day in the opening start for the Yankees, their opening home game, and Ryu actually shut them down. So look, the Blue Jays do have a veteran lineup, and that's kind of what I'm interested in observing going forward when the Blue Jays play at their new digs or temporary digs in Dunedin. They did very well in Buffalo last year. I think the record was like 17-8 at home in Buffalo last season. And we'll see if they do that here. I want to see mainly how the ballpark plays. If you're going to see balls getting hit out of the ballpark in this minor league place down in Dunedin. So Yankees, you know, first 10 games of the season, obviously they have tried to stack this lineup. And they've been kind of pedestrian. Right now they're outside the top 10 in Major League Baseball in terms of WABA and some other categories. New York only hit .226 in 2020 against left-handed pitchers, and they only got 4 hits off Ryu in the debut at Yankee Stadium this month. So, you know, we'll see if they see them a second time, if they can fare a little bit better. But the Yankees haven't exactly been crushing lefties, at least going back to last season. Toronto's got a good matchup against Taillon. Blue Jays are very good at hitting fastballs and curveballs. They certainly were last season, and those are really Taillon's two main pitches to get him out. So do lean a little bit with the Blue Jays here.
The Yankees taking money all over town. 120 at BetMGM is about the high water mark. Some shops as low as -109 on the Toronto Blue Jays. The Rangers at the Rays, 4:10 Pacific, 7:10 Eastern. Rangers have dropped 4 in a row. Tampa's at 5-5 on the season. This will be Kyle Gibson opposing Ryan Yarbrough, and the Rays are minus 180 favorites with a total of 8.
Yeah, a little bit of a pitcher duel last night. 1-0. It was Dunning and I believe Tyler Glasnow, and that game went easily to the under. Under getting bet here again, too. It was 8.5, now 8 minus $1.20, even some 7.5. Now starting to show Yarbrough. you know, kind of one of those opening starters. So you always wonder how late he is going to go into the game for the Tampa Bay Rays, and we shall see. I don't necessarily disagree with the move on the under here. Rangers really still trying to find offense as well.
All right, we'll see if we can get one more in here before the break. The Marlins at the Braves, 4:20 Pacific, 7:20 Eastern. Miami got the series opener in extra innings on Monday. Atlanta's now lost two in a row. This will be Lopez against Max Fried. Braves a heavy favorite here, minus 175 and a total of 7.5.
Yeah, Marlins got the win in 10 innings last night. Of course, the Braves are part of that controversial call in Sunday night baseball. So I don't know if that was a hangover effect or if it was just the pitching matchup last night, but Marlins have some good higher-end guys in that rotation. They do have some good young pitching. They do not have a lot of hitting, but they went with Alcantara. He went 6 3/8 last night. They go with Lopez again tonight. Marlins getting the money. Braves did return home, took two or three from the Phillies after a struggle into the road trip. So Marlins taking the money here, not surprising. I kind of like the under in the spot.
All right, we'll continue with the Tuesday baseball card on the other side here. Also take a look at this week's PGA Tour event. They're in Hilton Head, South Carolina for the RBC Heritage as a follow-up to the Masters. Just getting started here on the Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Basketball and hockey games every week in the early baseball season. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you inside the Lombardi Line, taking a look at the Tuesday baseball card, and we pick up where we left off with the Cubs at the Brewers, 4:40 Pacific, 7:40 Eastern. Milwaukee took game one on Monday for its third win in a row. The Cubs have dropped three straight. Kyle Hendricks opposing Brandon Woodruff tonight. Brewers are minus 145 on the money line with a total of 7.5.
Yeah, on the Cubs side, I think Hendricks, he's going to need to get these early walk issues out of the way, and I think he mainly will. It's really the issue for the Cubs is not the pitching, it's been the hitting. They've got the worst strikeout percentage in all of the National League heading into action yesterday. I have not seen any updated numbers this morning. And against Brandon Woodruff, who's averaging about 10 2/3 strikeouts over nine innings, I don't know if it's going to get better, at least in this start perspectively. This actually was from Cubs historian Ed Hardig, and this was tweeted out by Jordan Bastian at MLB Astian on Twitter. We don't have the tweet up. I just happened to see this come across over the break. Cubs historian Ed Hardig says that the Cubs' 49 hits are the fewest hits by the organization over 10 consecutive games in a season since 1901.
Wow.
That's any 10-game stretch, by the way.
Whoa.
Not just the first 10 games of the season. Previous low was 51 hits from September 17th to September 29th in 1968. This is not a team that's hitting well. This is a team striking out a lot against the strikeout pitcher. Brandon Woodruff's xFIP is better than his ERA, and you know I love the xFIP, Brady. That's what I really look at in terms of a true evaluation of a pitcher. Brewers' offense has been shaky in their own rights. Christian Yelich set out last night with a back, may be out again today, but I think even without him, they may have enough to get by the Cubs, who are absolutely not hitting here. Small lean, actually more of a lean, may end up being a bet here on the Milwaukee Brewers. Cubs taking a trickle of the money, but at 140 or less, I would say Brewers, or maybe if you have the option at certain shops to lay minus one. I usually don't like to lay the run line on favorites. I usually like to try to find minus ones if those are available out there at some reduced juice. So that'd be the way I go with the Brewers.
I actually kind of lean a bit with the Cubs. I see the money trickling in on their side. Could be a buy low spot for them. At maybe less than 135, I could see the Brewers, but at plus 130 or better, I would lean a little bit with Chicago to bounce back. Kind of like the over in this game, too. If the Cubs are going to win, it should go over the total. Those bats need to heat up, certainly, for the North Siders. Nationals at the Cardinals, 445 Pacific, 745 Eastern. Washington got the win on the road at St. Louis on Monday, 5-2. And how about this pitching matchup for Tuesday? Steven Strasburg taking on Jack Flaherty. Flaherty and the Redbirds, a slight favorite here, minus 120 at BetMGM with a total of 7. And this is not a 7-inning game. All 9 here between these two stalwart pitchers.
Yeah, this is Cardinals have now 3 of their last 4 are losses. They did lose last night, Gant losing to Fetty. Nationals winning 5-2. You would anticipate a pitcher's duel here again with Strasburg and Flaherty. Certainly the market is leaning that way. It's now over 7 with some big, minus 125, the high vig at BetMGM. So this was 7.5. Those quickly got gobbled up in the overnights. Looks like about even money so far, depending on your store. I think Flaherty right now I'm seeing at BetMGM is minus 120, Strasburg at plus 110. Pretty even matchup. I'm not sure really where to go here. Small lean to the under.
Off of the Masters, the PGA Tour makes the short trip to Hilton Head, South Carolina for the RBC Heritage at Harbortown Golf Links. I was fortunate enough to play this course last summer, Wes, a gorgeous track, and I found out firsthand what driving accuracy is all about, ball striking, and the scrambling effect with these very small greens, the tree-lined fairways. This is really a polar opposite of what the players that are in this field, a lot of them that played the Masters, really this course is absolutely the opposite of what they faced last week at Augusta National.
Yeah, and this is a course, too, has some of the lowest driving distance on the PGA Tour because you have a lot of forced layups on this course. You cannot just bomb and gouge or grip it and rip it, so a very strategic test for these players.
Dustin Johnson is your favorite. He's never finished, what, inside the top 15 here?
No, I don't believe so. He's surprisingly enough because he's born right here in South Carolina.
We'll see if he can solve the puzzle this week at Hilton Head. We'll talk some more golf and baseball later in the program. Coming back here on the Lombardi Line in just a moment on VSiN. The spring sports betting action is just getting started. Our VSiN experts are covering early baseball season trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We'll give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game at VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now's the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you, picking up the golf talk that we left off in the last segment. We got to Dustin Johnson, who is the favorite here this week in Harbortown for the RBC Heritage. He is at 9-1 at BetMGM and has never had great success at this tournament. He's played here a lot because RBC is a sponsor of his, and we really have an outstanding field here for the Heritage this week, Wes. And it's almost kind of like a vacation for a lot of these players after the grind of Augusta. Mm-hmm. You go to this beautiful coastal resort there, Sea Pines, Hilton Head Island in South Carolina, and one heck of a golf course, one heck of a golf tournament usually produces some really good results and some drama down the stretch here. Webb Simpson, an absolute horse for this course. He is the second choice at 12-1. Another horse for this course is Patrick Cantlay. He comes off of a missed cut at Augusta National last week. He's 16-1. Daniel Berger finished third here in the restart last summer off of his win at Colonial. He's 18 16-1 at BetMGM. Colin Morikawa at 20-1. Tyrrell Hatton had a good finish here, coming up just shy of Webb Simpson's victory last year. He's at 22-1. Cameron Smith, 25. Abraham Answer, he was the guy, I believe, finished second to Simpson, battled Webb Simpson down the stretch in last year's version. He's at 28-1. And Will Zalatoris, the darling that surprised everybody at Augusta National, finishing second. He's now down to 28-1 here this week.
Yeah, I'm wondering how last year is going to be, because remember, this RBC event got played in early June instead of the customary date that we have this week, the week after the Masters in mid-April. So you did have you didn't have the overseeding necessarily in terms of the greens and whatnot. You have the usual overseeding now, the rye with the fairways and the POA in terms of the greens. It is Bermuda grass really throughout. So I wonder how much last year is an outlier, because even though you have a very good field this year, you had a much better field even last year, because it was just the second week after the restart,
right?
Because Colonial was first, and then there was this event. And last year, the scoring record got set here by Webb Simpson, 22 under, 262 overall for 4 days. That's a tournament record. You didn't really have any wind either in June, so I think you're going to have a little bit more wind, because if you look at the scores here, they're usually kind of in the mid-teens. CT Pan was 12 under in 19, same with Kedira in 18, Wesley Bryan minus 13 in 2017. So you usually get that kind of mid-tier scoring. And then now that you have this at the back end of the Masters, the week after, you start to maybe get that Masters hangover a little bit with some of these top players. Because I think bettors are always tempted to bet guys that really went well at the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys usually do not do that. Let me go back about 10 years here, not including last year's event because it was in the summer. 2010 to 2019, only one player had finished the top five or better the week before at the Masters, and then did the same the following week at the RBC Heritage. That's over a 10-year span. That was Luke Donald in 2011, and Luke Donald's like the perennial bridesmaid here. I think he has several second-place finishes, so only one guy. And then if you go, okay, they were top 10 the week before at the Masters, and then the following week at the RBC Heritage, you only had two players in that 10-year span finish in the top five: Ricky Barnes in 2010, Patrick Cantlay in 2019. So beware of the guys that were in the mix at the Masters or showed off well, because that's priced into the market. And oftentimes, this is a little bit of a hangover effect. Just looking at the winners, and you even have some names here over the last 10 years. 2019, CT Pan did not play in the Masters. He wins this thing. Kedira, T28 at the Masters. He wins this thing. Wesley Bryan did not play the week before and then won this thing in 2017. And then 2016, 2015, 2014, those winners were Brandon Grace, Jim Furyk, and Matt Kuchar. All missed the cut the week before at Augusta and then went on to win here. So if a guy missed the cut last week, don't think, oh, he has no chance here. He probably actually has a better chance.
Yeah, I went with guys that either missed the cut or did not figure in the mix at the Masters because they're well-rested. I figure when they come down here to Harbortown, and like you say, after the grind that is Augusta National, especially a guy like Will Zalatoris, who finished second, I would not expect him to exactly rebound.
And all those media obligations that they're going to get. So now, we knew, because we follow this week in and week out, but the average folks that follow golf maybe just mainly for the majors were like, oh, this Will Zalatoris guy, who is this guy? And we've known that he's a very known quantity, actually has 16 worldwide top 10 finishes or better dating back to the start of 2020. The only guy that's matched him is John Rahm, who is the number two player in the world. So Zalatoris has been a known commodity, and now you're starting to see those prices cut. So beware maybe of buying in guys getting off the deck here from the Masters with that disappointment, being able to do it the very next week here at RBC Heritage.
And of course, we'll dive in deeper to the golf tonight on Long Shots with our guest Stephen Hennessy of Golf Digest. Back to the baseball, the Angels at the Royals, 5:10 Pacific, 8:10 Eastern. Los Angeles bounced back on Monday with a win at Kansas City after getting blown out 15-1 by the Blue Jays on Sunday. Dylan Bundy and Danny Duffy get the honors today. Halos a minus 145 5 road favorite with a total of 8.5.
Yeah, Anaheim's really gotten the whipping sticks going here early in the season. 10 runs last night in Kansas City, a team that's been hitting the ball very well. And we were wondering, okay, with these moves that they made, and I don't believe Rendon played last night.
No, he was a late scratch.
Yeah.
Oh, Rendon. Yes.
Yeah, Ohtani had 3 hits and 3 RBIs. Mike Trout with a 2-run shot. So that's going to get you 10 runs. Bundy against Danny Duffy today. Bundy getting the money a little bit here, about a 10-cent move in his favor. Actually leaned to the under here. It's gone down to 8.5, though, and 7 and 9 are often key numbers on totals. So would like to see a 9 reappear. I don't necessarily disagree with the move on the under.
The Indians at the White Sox, 5:10 Pacific, 8:10 Eastern as well. Good game between these two AL Central foes on Monday, and the Pale Hoes got the win 4-3, and this is what I was talking about. Got mixed up. Carlos Rodon was a late scratch. Dallas Keuchel coming in on short notice did a great job for the White Sox as they beat Cleveland 4-3 on Monday. Another great pitching matchup today with Shane Bieber facing off against Lucas Giolito, and pretty much a pick'em game here. -110 either side at BetMGM, and the total plummeting now down to 6.5.
Yeah, at 6.5, I would be a little more interested in the over because this has gone through a key number. 7 is the keyest number of all baseball totals, and this was 7.5 juice to the under and now to 6.5. Tough to do it with these two guys, with Bieber and Giolito, because they have been aces to start the season, but would lean to the over at 6.5.
I lean with the Indians slightly there. We'll see what Will Hill likes on the other side. Will Hill will join the program when we return right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. MGM welcomes you to Showtime with a chance to win $100 for a $1 wager on the Clippers-Pacers game. Just use the promo code VSIN100 and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details. Use the promo code VSIN100. Bet $1 and win $100 if either team hits a three-pointer. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. It excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, 800-889-9789, and 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Will Hill now joins the program. He's one of the many cast of characters here on the Lombardi Line, also a contributor to Point Spread Weekly, and you can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. Will, good morning to you. Of course, Wes and I have been covering a big card for the Tuesday baseball slate, and you got to watch out here. There's been a lot of changes, a couple of doubleheaders, some pitching changes, so be careful if you've got listed or action in terms of your baseball bets today. But I'm going to start you off with a play you've made in the Cubs and the Brewers game, my friend. Take it away.
Yeah, I like the under here. Really good pitching matchup. Hendricks versus Woodruff. Woodruff's the guy I have a Cy Young ticket on at 25-1. Just incredible stuff. 100 miles an hour. Great sink. Great movement. You know, gets a lot of ground balls, a lot of swings and misses. Kendricks is the opposite. You know, doesn't break 90. More of a modern day Maddox, where he's kind of a scientist out there. You know, he moves the ball around, changes speeds, changes spots. You know, these two faced off last Wednesday. It was a 1-0 game late. Kane hit a homer to tie it late, and then he hit a home run in extra innings, 4-1 game. So I look for an under here.
Yeah, and absolutely right. I made the case for that earlier, Will, because, look, Woodruff, you said he gets a lot of swings and misses. Well, the Cubs do give you a lot of swings and misses at the plate, so could be a good outing, at least on that side, and both offenses really struggling, so I'm with you here. But you're looking at another under in terms of Washington and St. Louis. We've got Steven Strasburg and Jack Flaherty on the hill tonight. This was 7.5. Now it's down to 7. Juice the over a little bit, depending on your store. I think it's 120, 125 here at BetMGM. You still like the under here with the Nats and the Redbirds?
Yeah, I like the under. The you know, Betting unders in baseball is kind of my bread and butter. I actually have anxiety with all the unders I like here. You guys know this from betting baseball. Certain days they line up where all the ones are facing off against each other, and today's one of those days. Last full season, 2019, these guys were 4-5 in Cy Young. They actually pitched against each other game three of the NLCS in 2019, which was a year and a half ago. It might have well been 35 years ago with everything that's happened in between. You know, Strasburg, we know him. He's as good as anybody. You just got to get him out to the mound and keep him healthy. Flaherty, the splits are a little bit different. You know, he was great in 2019. He was bad in 2020 in a shorter sample. But, you know, both these guys were really unhittable last time out. Both one-hit ball. Strasburg had a bunch of strikeouts, I think 8 strikeouts. So I look for a low-scoring game here. I trust Flaherty's bigger sample size more in terms of 2019. I think he'll bounce back.
Yeah, you made the call there. About a year and a half ago, these two pitchers faced off. Wes and I were talking about that before the show. I remember that great game between Flaherty and Strasburg. Next up, the Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays. And I'm kind of with you on this one, Will. The Yankees have been seeing the money here. Ryu versus Tyone.
Yeah, I think a lot of reasons to like the Yankees here. The Yankees haven't hit, and that's scary for the rest of the league because, look, you can have a lot of questions about the Yankees, the starters after Cole, that's all fair. But one thing you don't have a concern about is they're going to score plenty of runs in the regular season. You know, Stanton, Judge, Torres, these guys haven't really gotten going yet. I think this is a good spot for them. Ryu's a lefty, doesn't throw very hard, and they saw him 10, 11 days ago on opening day. So that gives them an advantage. Ryu pitched well, but that was kind of a chilly day, and Ryu is tough to hit, but that's a tough lineup for a left-handed pitcher to navigate. A lot of right-handed thunder with, like I said, LeMahieu, Torres, Judge, Stanton, you know, Hicks flips around the other way, even though he hasn't hit yet. So I like the matchup here for the Yankees. Tyone's a key guy. I mean, he was the second pick of the draft. He's got good pedigree. He's been up and down. You know, they desperately need somebody behind Cole to step up and be a solid number two, and, you know, he's a guy they're counting on. So I like the Yankees here.
Will, over to the NBA really quickly. The late night game tonight is Boston at Portland. Portland, about a 1-point favorite right now here at BetMGM, 230 in terms of the total. And watching that game on Sunday when Denver, it seemed like they had the game in hand. Then all of a sudden, Boston goes on a run, 40-8 run overall. And I believe they scored Denver 31-8 in the fourth quarter. Boston seemingly as healthy as they've been all year. I know Evan Fournier, who they got in that deal at the deadline with Orlando, is still out due to quarantine. But all of a sudden, Boston seems to have all its players healthy. And wouldn't you know it, they're winning games because they haven't had them all on the floor at the same time. And you like the Celtics tonight.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. Betting the NBA these days is like trying to hit the knuckleball. I mean, I was watching golf and watching baseball the other day, but keeping an eye on that score. And, you know, Denver was up, I think, 14 late in the third quarter. Then you keep looking. Boston's, you know, close. Then they're ahead. And you look, it's a 31-3 run, which is, I mean, you see that kind of stuff for a 1 versus 16 seed in the NCAA tournament. You don't usually see that in the NBA. I mean, the NBA is a game of runs, but not like that. You know, this is, like you said, Boston's healthy. They're playing well. This is as much a play against Portland. I don't buy them. You look at the record, great, 9 games over .500. They have Lillard. They have McCollum. They're a fun team. A lot of people like them. They actually have a negative point differential, which is hard to believe. They've been unbelievably lucky in close games. I think the stat is 21-7 in games that are 5 points with 5 minutes or less. So that's due to reverse. I'm not a believer in Portland. I know everyone loves them. They're kind of like a mid-major team because they got the two guards, and Lillard's a fun player. You know, you remember last year, everyone's picking them to beat the Lakers and take them to 7, and, you know, they won the first game and then basically got steamrolled. So I'm not high on the Blazers. I think they got a lot of issues defensively. I think Boston's the better overall team and playing better at the moment.
Will, back to the Nuggets for a moment. It's kind of gone from bad to worse. On Sunday, we talk about their loss to the Celtics at home, just getting steamrolled 40-8 over the final quarter and a half or so. And then they go into Golden State, and Steph puts 53 on them on Monday. And then, of course, in that game, the devastating news that their point guard Jamal Murray will be lost for the season with a torn ACL. We've seen the odds go up 50% to win the West, and they have doubled to win the NBA championship. And some shops here in town even have them now at 100-1 to win the NBA title. Whatever way you want to slice it, this is really bad news and a sad story for a team that was on quite a run here the last couple weeks.
I mean, they're done. I mean, it's sad to say. It's brutal to say, but it's just being blunt. They're done. They're not going to win the title. Could they win a round? Sure. I mean, Jokic is a great player. They got some nice surrounding pieces. But in terms of winning four series, it's not going to happen. And you know, we've seen a lot of injuries. We figured it might happen with the short turnaround. These teams that were in the bubble, a short off season, and this jam-packed season. It's hard to say whether it's a result of that or it's just bad luck. But, you know, Davis, LeBron, Harden, Durant. I mean, the list goes on and on. Embiid, we've had a lot of injuries. You know, it might just turn into a war of attrition down the stretch here with these injuries.
Will, does it do anything for you with the other teams now in the Western Conference as far as maybe wanting to put a bet on them, the Phoenix Suns, the Utah Jazz, the Clippers, the Lakers? If Denver's out of it, does it lead you towards any of the other contestants?
Not yet, just because I think the West is so fascinating. I think it's very seed dependent. I think you're going to see a cat and mouse game this last month of teams trying to avoid the Lakers, but we don't know what seed the Lakers are going to drop in. They could be a five, they could be a six. I mean, they could drop all the way down a seven, which, say Phoenix is the two, they got this all-time great season, you know, almost best record in the league, and they're sitting there looking at the Lakers in the first round, and they'd probably be the underdog to the Lakers if they're healthy. So, you know, I was saying with Lombardi and Patrick the other day, these five really good teams in the West, Denver, Utah, Phoenix, the two LAs, they could all win the title, but one of them wouldn't make it out of the first round, which is just, it shows you how deep and how good the West is. So maybe wait and see on some of the matchups in the seeding.
Will, to the links here in Harbortown Golf Links, to be exact, down in Hilton Head, South Carolina, RBC Heritage, back in its traditional date after the Masters. And usually you get a little Masters hangover with some of these guys that are going to play back-to-back weeks. Some are going to take the week off, but so a lot of the guys at the top of the board did play last week. So kind of a tournament, if you've looked at the pattern over the years, taking out last year's 2020 event that got played in June, where you get some middle-priced guys that really show out at this event. Anybody you like so far this week?
Yeah, I'm looking at JT Poston. He's got two top 10 finishes the last 2 years. He played well there last year, played well there in 2019. I think he finished eighth in 1 year, sixth the other year. He's from that area. This is in South Carolina. I believe he's from North Carolina, so he's comfortable in that part of the country for whatever that's worth. So you're looking at a long price there. I don't even see him on the board. I think he's 125, 131. Yep. So maybe worth a shot to look at him in terms of, you know, win, top 10, things like that. And, you know, I follow him on Twitter, and he's fired up. So I like that, too. He's a big Braves fan, and he was fired up about that call the other night. That was a bad call at the plate, and he was not happy. So maybe you get JT with a little bit of an edge here this weekend.
JT Poston is also on my card this week as one of my longer odd guys as well.
And
he also won at Sedgefield a couple years ago for the Wyndham Championship. And you've seen guys that have won in that event. That has correlation here at the RBC. Webb Simpson, of course, did it last year, has won at both sites. So I think this is a good angle on him, and to have two top tens in back-to-back years. I played him last year, didn't quite get up there, but did, I think, finish eighth. So I do like Poston at a big price. You're going to have a couple big price guys, I think, show out this week.
I believe JT Poston is also a member or a part of that crew at Sea Island. A dozen or more PGA Tour players call that place home, and JT Poston has played very well at the RSM Classic. I think that's another course that correlates here this week to the RBC Heritage. Will, thank you as always. We'll do it again next week, my friend. Enjoy the golf, the baseball, and the NBA.
Got to get the plug in. VSiN.com/subscribe. Check it out. Some NFL futures. Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Will.
You bet.
Take care. The RBC Heritage, Will, going with JT Poston, and you're on Mr. Poston as well, the postman.
I am, and like I said, the Sedgefield connection that's at the Wyndham Championship, and then obviously this event here in South Carolina. So, you know, I think that this is a guy that can hit the board. A couple other guys, Matthew Neesmith, a good ball striker. He's triple digits to one, so yeah, you can absolutely, I think, go forward with some longer shots here. You don't have to play all the real short prices necessarily.
Poston certainly has the course correlation history, but I stayed away from him because his stats are so bad this year. Just not in great form. He was a real hot commodity last year. Came out of the restart looking really
good. And now
good.
He's drifted up a little bit because, as you said, those numbers have not been really in great form of late. But, you know, going to a familiar place, that's where you can kind of get right.
Absolutely. You can get healthy at a home course, so to speak, for Mr. Poston. Has had good success there in the past. Hour number one in the books. We'll talk some NBA on the other side right here on the Lombardi Line.